You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to today's edition of People of Note. Women's Day it is, and I'm pleased to tell you I have a distinguished lady in the studio with me. But before I introduce her, I want to tell you about a new concept. BR Concerts is presenting Concerts Connect, which is a series of online concerts which will be streamed in support of local music societies and concert series. With a strong focus on connectivity, Concerts Connect is a unique online platform that aims to connect music societies with audiences and artists in these times of great disconnection. And with the possibility to connect audiences directly with music societies through customized ticketing and live stream platforms, societies are able to continue presenting world-class performances to their existing patrons, but also offers the possibility to grow their audience base across geographical boundaries. And in so doing, music societies and concert series are able to continue playing their vital role in South African classical music, in the scene here. And as you know, the scene has been seriously disrupted, as have so many other things, by COVID. Well, the curator of Concerts Connect is the South African pianist Nina Schumann. And I'm sure you know Nina well. She was born into a musical family here in South Africa. She received her early music tuition from Rona Rupert and Lamar Krausen. Her first appearance with an orchestra was at the age of 15. And from there on, she just took off. All the competition she could have won, she won. The Oda Meester Music Prize, the SAMRA Overseas Scholarship, the SABC Music Prize, prize for the best South African pianist in the UNISA International Piano Competition in 1993, and a whole host of things internationally as well. And Nina is with me here in the studio. Nina, thank you for braving COVID and coming through to the studio to chat to us.
Thank you, Rodney. Lovely to be here.
Well, you're one of those people who's directly affected, aren't you? I know, okay, you're Professor, aren't you, of piano at...
Yes.
At Stellenbosch.
Yes.
That's your kind of official title. But just for the moment, let's talk about Concerts Connect. And tell me how it came into being, presumably because you needed a platform like this.
Yes, the idea actually, the seed for it came from my dad. And my dad is retired in Hermanus. And they have a music society called Oak, with a Strand Arts Kunste. And a circular went round to their members to basically pose the question, what do they do now? Because they don't have content, they can't host concerts, and they were considering actually closing the society. And my dad called me up and said, is there anything that we can do to assist? So I thought about it, and I thought that it was quite obvious that we had to go the online route, but financially that's incredibly expensive. Any production costs anywhere between 45,000 and 50,000
really?
Rand. Mainly because of camera work and sound, yes. Of course.
So that you've said something very interesting. Sorry to interrupt you, Nina, because I think some people might think that online is sort of the cheap way to go. But as you're pointing out, that's definitely not the case.
Well, it depends what you're doing. Of course, in the initial months of COVID, everyone stream 2 minutes of practicing scales from the living room.
Yes, I remember.
That definitely doesn't cost that much, but we were aiming for real high quality content and video, of course. So the only way to make it worthwhile was basically to try and connect as many different societies as possible. I keep thinking of it as a 1970s Tupperware party, you know, where the women
That's
used to come together.
Yes.
So basically what happens is that the music societies buy into it for a specified amount, and let's say 4,000 rand. Then they have to sell 40 tickets in order to make their money back. And once they make their money back, then they make profit, which then again invests in the next concert. So initially, I think we had 5 music societies. This past Sunday, we just had the 4th concert. That was Amici Quartet with Megan Jeffrey Prince. And on board were 9 music societies. And that's from all over the country. We've got PE Music Society, Sasolburg, Porch. We had University of Pretoria, some Suarez and Joburg.
So it is national.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, but I mean, apart from the societies joining up the public can, obviously. That's
yes, and what is fantastic is that if you buy your ticket, you specify which music society you would like to support. So it becomes a little bit of a competition.
Okay.
I remember initially there was quite a competition between Cape Town Concert Series and Oak and Hermanus to see who would sell the most tickets. You know, so it's mobilizing
healthy,
people.
Mm, it's
absolutely
healthy.
And of course, and the most important thing is it provides a platform to the musicians and also everyone in the industry. It's not just camera crew and sound, it's the piano tuner, etc.
Yeah. So where do the concerts actually take place? Do they take place in Stellenbosch?
No. Initially, I wanted to stream it from the Endler, but we couldn't get permission for that. So we decided to treat it like a travel show. So in the 30 minutes prior to the start of the concert, we have a different venue every time.
Oh.
And we have interviews with the artists, but we also have footage from the different places. So the first concert was in Lorenzfurt Manor House, the second one in Castle Labia in Musenburg. The third was a beautiful one in Stade outside Stellenbosch, Quinn Rock. Very contemporary. So everything has been very different. This past Sunday's concert was in Old Nectar, outside Stellenbosch, which is famous for the gardens.
Yeah. So what you do is, as you say, like a travelogue. So the whole presentation would open with where you are and a look around the place.
Yes.
And things like that.
Yes.
And clearly you're choosing rather grand places like Castle Labia and the wine farms.
Well, it's unfortunately it's restricted by the pianos that's available.
Oh yes, of course.
So far we've chosen venues with good pianos. For the third one there were no pianos whatsoever, so I've got two babies at home and they got moved. And we use them.
You mean baby concert grands?
Yes,
pianos.
Yeah.
Then when the whole thing is put together, how long does it take to, I presume there's a lot of rehearsal and all that and camera angles before you go live?
There's approximately 2 hours of rehearsal time, and then they switch on that button and they count you down and off you
and
go.
There you are.
Yeah, there's absolutely no editing whatsoever. Yes, so it's a very nerve-wracking experience.
So you could say warts and all, but we are talking about professional musicians here who are going to give of their best, I'm sure. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, no, absolutely. The first concert we had Alyssa Margulis, the German violinist, accompanied by Luis Magalhães. She, of course, got stuck in South Africa for 3.5 months with her daughter. So it was great for everyone to take off the feathers and get going. And the second concert at Casa Labia, I played a solo recital. The third one was Luis and myself on two pianos. And then, as mentioned, the last concert was Amici Quartet. The next concert will be on the 30th of August. That will be the CPO Wind Quintet with Peter Grobler on piano.
Now, Nina, let's take a music break. And you sent me your list of music, and I was rather surprised. I expected Debussy preludes or Chopin waltzes or Beethoven sonatas. But we've got Queen coming up. Tell me why you've chosen Bohemian Rhapsody, apart from the fact that it's quite an extraordinary piece of music.
It is an extraordinary piece of music. It's just a really, really, truly well-written piece of music. But I chose it because it represents my childhood. With my
yes.
family, we were 5 daughters, and whenever we went on our December holidays, it would turn into a karaoke in the car.
Oh
and
goodness.
Everyone would join in Bohemian Rhapsody, and the harmonization I will never forget. That was just extraordinary.
Okay, but it's quite long now, so I think what we'll do is try and pick it up to get the ballad feeling of it, and also that little sort of a cappella sequence, and we can imagine
yes.
you all singing in your car. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Here we go.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a cool boy, I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go.
Cut it there, Nina. As much as that famous song is loved by so many people, Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen's song, Freddie Mercury's song there. And believe it or not, Nina Schumann, the South African pianist, used to sing that with her sisters in the car as a karaoke when you were very young. I wish you had a recording, Nina. Nina Schumann is my guest here on this week's edition of People of Note, talking about Concerts Connect, a series of online concerts which will be streamed in support of local music societies and concert series. And Nina, one of the things I've discovered during this lockdown and all that with these online things is that it's not just a one-off. If you miss the actual broadcast, the live broadcast, it usually stays on for a few days that you can still tune in. Well, how does that work?
Yes, when you set up the contract with Quicket, you can actually specify how long you want it to be valid for. And we chose 72 hours. And it's actually been really interesting to give you some kind of indication. One of the concerts, I think we sold 420 tickets. But the online viewing has been 2,200. So that means that people return repeatedly. I mean, just yesterday afternoon, I was watching Sunday's concert again. And while I was viewing, I could see online 22 other people who were busy watching at the same time, which is really quite amazing. So it means that people are growing used to the fact that if you miss the start of the concert, there's still time. you can watch it later.
Nina, how do you advertise the concerts? How do people know when to listen? Do they go to a website, or how do you advertise these concerts?
Yes, the best way is to go to Brent Reynolds' website. That's my partner in this, brconcerts.com. And all the information is on there. In terms of publicity, obviously we've done overall publicity. There's been some articles in the newspapers and Burger Argus, etc., also on social media. Mm-hmm. But of course, super importantly is that the different music societies, they run their own publicity campaign.
Oh, okay. So, which helps all their members to tune
yes,
in as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So it actually happens where there's the original concert at, say, 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock on one day, and then when that's finished, you can tune in at any time of the day or night for the next 72 hours.
Yes.
But absolutely. You also still have to buy a ticket to yes. tune in to the repeats.
Yes.
Okay.
One ticket will last you for 72 hours, and you can
okay.
watch repeatedly. And, of course, also one ticket serves a whole household, so you can have four people watching at the same time.
And how much are the tickets?
100 rand.
Oh, yeah.
Student tickets are 50 rand.
Yes, gosh. And how do the musicians react to this? Has it been easy to get people to take part in this?
Incredibly easy. I mean, the first three concerts was basically an experiment. We'd only planned for the first three concerts, which involved Alyssa, Luis, and myself. And then immediately afterwards, we had to start the planning. And so far, every time I pick up the phone and I invite musicians, they are just so, I think, relieved. Mm-hmm. You know, one can sense that they need something to work towards.
They need to play.
Yeah, they all moan like crazy in the beginning and say, oh, my gosh, how am I going to be ready in 3 weeks' time? But they all do it happily. Mm-hmm.
And just the sort of money question, do they get paid, the musicians?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
From the money that you raise from the tickets and all that?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Everything goes into the kitty, and that covers fees for the artists, the moving of the pianos, the tuning, the sound, the video guys.
Yeah, as you said
everything.
Earlier, all these expenses that are
yes.
so important. And how do you choose repertoire? Is there a kind of... do you guide the repertoire?
So, with Alyssa and Luis, of course, they chose their own repertoire. For the solo, I was responsible for that. With the Amici Quartet, I did request two specific composers, and I just now did the same with the upcoming concert. I don't think it should necessarily remain a rule, mm-hmm. But I guess because of my experience with the Stellenbosch International Show Music Festival, I think I've got a kind of a broad knowledge of
course,
chamber music repertoire.
Yes, and what a tragedy that was, because that, of course, had to fall away, didn't it? The Chamber Music Festival, which was in its, what, it has been going for some years now.
I think it was going to be the 17th
yes,
year.
Yes, something like that.
Yes.
And it had created such an impetus, and so many overseas artists knew about it and came out. I've interviewed some who said how wonderful it was to come to Cape Town, to Stellenbosch, and make good music, and all that had to be cancelled.
Yeah, no, it was tragic, and I think we were holding out until the absolute last minute, but at some point one has to face reality. Mm. So in the meantime, we'll be planning for next year.
Right. And the other important thing that was cancelled was the Piano Symposium, is that right?
Yes.
An international symposium.
Yes, we have a biannual Stellenbosch International Piano Symposium that also incorporates the Henny Hubert National Piano Competition, which, again, it's so sad because you've got high school students who've been practicing for 9 months in preparation for this competition. And at the last minute, I think it was 6 weeks' notice, we had to cancel everything.
We were just saying, weren't we, Nina, when you arrived at the studio, how when all this began, we sort of thought, oh, well, it'll all be over in a month or two and we'll be back to normal, little realizing what we were in for.
Yes, I mentioned to you I had an invitation to go to Maputo in Mozambique for a chamber festival that they have there, and I sent some communication in March saying we're not quite sure what to do, and I was the first to respond to say, oh, it will all blow over in 2 weeks' time. So I feel like a real twat, but
yes.
I'm trying to be as forward-thinking also now in terms of the scene what one should anticipate within the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone goes through a process that you kind of have to knock yourself over the head and say you've got to expect that there will not be live concerts for at least the next 6 months.
Gosh. Anyway, let's have another piece of music from you, Nina. What's your next choice?
I chose Barbra Streisand.
Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, she was my teenage idol.
Really?
Yes. I love her voice. I think she's just absolutely incredible. And I've always had a penchant for strong women. In fact, I remember when I was at school, someone asked me to do an interview for Women's Day, and they asked me who's the woman I admire most, and I said Barbra Streisand, and my mother was incredibly upset with me.
Good for you. What's Barbara singing for us?
She's going to sing Papa Can You Hear Me from the movie Yentl, and you have to listen to it just to time the length of the last note. It's extraordinary.
I hear what you mean by that long note, Nina. Mm. You told me that you actually timed it once with a stopwatch.
I did.
Barbra Streisand, Papa, Can You Hear Me? From Yentl, was it?
Yes.
The film Yentl.
Yes.
And another choice of my guest. My guest on this Women's Day on People of Note is the pianist Nina Schumann. And we're talking about Concerts Connect, a series of online concerts which are being streamed in support of local music societies and concert series, and a way to keep our musicians busy. As we said earlier, musicians have to play. They want to play. That's what they live for. And how have you, Nina, found the mood among people? Are people bearing up? Are people very depressed? Are, you know, the young people studying and all that, the older people who have established careers? How would you describe the situation? Are people being positive?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag.
I suppose it has to be.
You know, I can only speak from myself in terms of personal experience. The first 2 months, one focuses so much on continuing your work and teaching, but I have to confess I didn't practice much at all.
Oh, dear.
And that exactly that very slowly gets one under. And with the start of this Concert Connect program, it was like my life changed completely, and it was wonderful. Suddenly I had a drive again. So I think most musicians who are not performing at the moment, I think it's incredibly tricky. One needs a platform, mm-hmm. and believe it or not, one needs the applause as
you
well.
You do, of course, you do.
And I see the difficulty for my students in particular, because even their exams now in the middle of the year, they had to upload it. There were some people performing a concerto for exam without accompaniment and recording it on a keyboard. So that's incredibly depressing, and yeah. I think for the students more than anything, they just want a stage. Mm-hmm. So I've seen my role not only teaching them but also trying to keep their spirits up as much as possible.
A psychological approach to them. And are you actually teaching one-to-one, or are you teaching online?
We have been teaching online until this past Monday. In fact, today was my second day at the office, and it's extremely strange to be back in my office, but I can sense how excited the students are. You can explain things better.
And now with the end of the year coming and the end of year exams and all that, are they being postponed, or what is the situation there?
Well, last week was the start of the third term, so we've still got a way to go, or the second semester. The planning, the way it is at the moment, will finish at the end of November.
Gosh, okay. And another question just about Stellenbosch in general, and your students, you obviously teach piano. Are there lots of budding piano students out there?
Tons.
Really, tons, really. Really.
Yeah, no, we've got excellent, excellent students. And I think what makes me so happy, the quality is very equally spread. Mm-hmm. I've got 3 master's students. I have great 4th-year, 3rd-year, 2nd-years, and 1st-years.
And you're just talking about academic qualifications, your doctorate, your PhD. What was your subject for that? I was trying to look it up the other day.
I completed it at UCT. Originally, I'd started it in Denton, University of North Texas.
Right.
And then I started the job in Stellenbosch, and it just became too much, the traveling, so I transferred to UCT. And my thesis was basically looking at 2 piano repertoire, the history. And then the second volume was a 400-page catalog of all the 2 piano works that had been written up until that point. That was 2005.
These 2 piano pieces that have been written up to that point, were they original compositions?
Yes,
they weren't transcriptions.
Well, I had a section with transcriptions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the interesting thing is, we're not talking about 4-hand repertoire.
You're talking about two pianos. Yes.
Up until the turn of the 19th century, there were only 22 original works. So it's been a genre that's exploded.
Gosh. But what attracted you to that, Nina? And I remember most of your early CDs with Luis were the 2 piano repertoires, weren't they? Whether it was Rachmaninoff or whether it was Arensky, those people. What attracted you to the 2 piano?
Well, I have to confess, I never really liked it.
Luis, now you say.
I like it now. But Luis had a history of playing 2 pianos, and he loved... the works and the dynamic of that type of ensemble. Mm-hmm. I kind of grudgingly agreed to do it. Yes. But we got to be quite a formidable duo. So most of our international work is basically two pianos, and we still continue playing together, of course.
Yes, because you are separated, aren't you? But yes. I mean, it's all amicable. And the two pianists label, is that now continuing? Have you got lots of plans for the future regarding that label?
That slowed down. I have to admit, the two pianists label has been incredibly successful, but essentially it's been a very expensive calling card. Mm-hmm. That's the function of a CD. In the end, it did contribute to getting us a better international engagement. Sometimes we got asked to perform concerts purely based on our CDs, people who didn't know us whatsoever. We never had agents, so the CDs fulfilled that function.
Which must have been very good for both of you and for your reputations and so on.
Yes, absolutely. One builds up a catalogue of work, and at the same time, just the experience of recording is quite unique. It puts a different element of acquired perfection. One gets away with a lot more in live performance than what you do when you record. Yeah.
And also, I should imagine, two pianos. I mean, I think some years ago, I remember I interviewed you and Luis together on People of Note, and I was sort of joking, who has the last say, or do domestic rows break out about interpretation or rhythm or dynamics or tempi? It must be a tricky, because it's different than playing with an orchestra or a concerto.
Yes, but I think we've had the benefit of 20 years of playing together already. Obviously, in the beginning, it was slamming doors and yelling at each other. Now it's entirely professional. And we only perform what we really, truly love. So it's a joint decision. We love discovering new repertoire as well, and we've discovered some gems in the last couple of years. It's all good.
Excellent. Now another piece of music, Nina Schumann, my guest on People of Note.
Well, I chose Beyoncé.
No, I'm teasing you.
No, I absolutely adore Beyoncé. I think she's got an incredible voice. And again, just recently I was watching a Netflix documentary, and she's such an hard-working individual. I have incredible admiration for that. And obviously I had to choose the obvious track, which is I'm a Single Lady.
Okay, here we go.
If you don't, you'll be alone. And like a ghost, I'll be gone.
All the single ladies.
Well, there's Beyoncé, a rare appearance on Fine Music Radio. I'm a Single Lady, and the choice of Nina Schumann, my guest on FMR's People of Note this week. Well, we were talking about Concerts Connect, and we're going to come back to that. But Nina, I want to just find out a little bit about your likes and dislikes. Your repertoire, for example, seems quite wide. Okay, we were talking about the two piano thing, but apart from that, you seem to have, judging from the concertos you've played and what I've seen you do, you have a wide repertoire, don't you? We wouldn't call you a specialist in a certain composer or style, or am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think over the years, there's been certain composers that I've favored or that I've had a lot of experience with. I would include in that bracket would be Bach and Beethoven for sure. Then, by popular demand, Rachmaninoff.
Yes, of course. I like the way you say demand.
No, I adore Rachmaninoff, but sometimes it's annoying to me. I seem to be exuding the impression that that's all I can play. Obviously, I'm turning 50 this year.
Oh, there you are.
I'm telling everyone, left, right, and center. One realizes how much you've actually built up a large repertoire, and that includes as well chamber music, which mm-hmm. is very important to me.
We were also, I mean, we were sitting chatting before we came in the studio. Sometimes I think we should record those conversations as well, because they're so spontaneous. And I was telling you how during this lockdown I've been listening to all the 32 Beethoven piano sonatas played by Wilhelm Kempff, and I asked you, perhaps stupidly, if you like Beethoven, and your answer was interesting because of the Lamar Krausen story.
Yes, when I started with Lamar, I think I was 12 years old. For my first 2 years, I was not allowed to play anything else except Beethoven. Which was very difficult at that point. I wanted to go and play the estate fits and all that stuff. But he believed very strongly, and now I concur, that in order to read the score properly and know how to interpret musical rules, which you do find in every single composer, the best map is in Beethoven's scores. So I've had a lot of experience with Beethoven, and obviously I teach Beethoven as well. I think I've played pretty much all the piano concerti, and of course done chamber music as well. And mm-hmm. it's wonderful as a teacher when you teach the students the principles, and then you give them a Beethoven score, and suddenly they see how it makes sense. It's glorious.
Interesting that you mentioned Bach and then Beethoven, because you know that famous saying that the well-tempered clavier of Bach is the Old Testament of keyboard playing, and that the 32 Beethoven piano sonatas are the New Testament of keyboard playing. And right. It sounds as though you would sort of agree with that.
Yes, obviously it's very diverse, even just in terms of Bach. His output, I think it goes well beyond the preludes and fugues, of course. And,
yes.
But again, I think it's a similar thing. There are basic rules that one finds in Bach that is just expanded upon in Beethoven.
Yeah. I mean, how do you relax, Nina? You obviously have quite a busy life because you've got to practice a lot. There's the admin side. There's all this. Do you listen to music? Do you listen to Barbara Streisand and Beyoncé, or do you listen to Beethoven and Bach?
I never listen to music. No, I'm serious.
I've heard that from musicians before.
You know, music is such a substantial part of my day. Mm. And especially in the last 10 years, I would say, when I listen to classical music, I only listen critically, and that's not pleasurable whatsoever. So my relaxation time is when we do go on holiday, and then you try and find your top 20 car mix that has to accompany the road trip.
Oh, right. I've many, many musicians tell me that they can't listen. I remember David Tidbold. Remember David Tidbold?
Yes,
famously saying to me when Classic FM was formed in Johannesburg, I can't understand who would want to listen to classical music all day. Which, coming from him, you can understand.
Yes.
It's his job. It's his life. But nonetheless, I dare say, when you sit down and practice, it's an intensity that you obviously enjoy.
Yes, it's wonderful. And especially lately, I feel like I've rediscovered solo pieces. Mm-hmm. And to a certain extent, I feel like I've rediscovered myself as well.
That's
interesting. It's been great. I know most people are depressed during COVID-19, but I'm feeling fantastic.
That's great news to hear. In fact, we're going to hear some music now. Your first piece of classical music in our program.
Yes, and it had to be Bach. It's the Bach Prelude in E minor that was arranged by Zelotti, performed by Konstantin Shcherbakov, who actually recorded it for our label. Mm-hmm. And just to tell you a story about that CD, Konstantin has recorded, I think it's ridiculous, a catalog of something like 50 CDs for Naxos. And he got so tired of being forced to play repertoire that he didn't really want to play. He recorded this disc that is called Me, and he dedicated it to his wife. And I still remember when he was recording, he was in tears. And this is that type of music. It just goes straight to the heart.
Well, that's the Prelude in E minor by Bach, but arranged by Silotti and also played by Konstantin Shcherbakov on the Two Pianist label. Nina Schumann here with me. And Nina, just before I let you go, and thank you, by the way, for what you said just before that about being positive, that you are succeeding in being positive in this period and discovering new things. And it's a period of discovery, if you look at it positively, isn't it, really?
Yes, I had a very interesting conversation with some people on the weekend. Obviously, the basic premise is always that when you have something that's with peril, you have to try and find the positive. But I do think it's a positive period right now. People have the time to reflect. They have the time to prepare. I think there's been a wonderful turn towards supporting local, and that include artists and, of course, our local restaurants and wines in particular, etc., etc.
When they're available.
Yeah, I think people they are softer in terms of feelings, and we don't live past one another anymore.
And also it's brought out a lot of goodness in people, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Sort of latent goodness in people.
Yes.
It's lovely to hear you say that. Thank you. It makes me feel better.
And to link up to the Concerts Connect thing, you know, it stresses the connectivity. And I think we're all in this together as long as we can continue connecting with one another.
Nina, when just remind us then when the next concert is. When can we tune in and go to Quicket and listen again?
Quicket will most probably be loaded by the end of the week. Well, it better be. It will have to be. I'll have to ask Brent to do it. But the next concert is going to be on the 30th of August. It's always on a Sunday, and it always starts at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. And can you tell us what it will be in that concert, or is that still a secret?
No, it's not a secret. It's going to be the CBO Wind Quintet with Peter Grobler on piano, and they are going to play the Thule Sextet as well as the Poulenc Sextet.
Oh, okay. That's interesting repertoire as well. So that's Concerts Connect, and you get to them via the website, is that right?
Yes, you can go to the website, or you can go directly to Quicket. Look for the Concerts Connect logo.
What is the Concert Connect website address?
That is brconcerts.com.
brconcerts.com. And then that'll take you, I've been there, and it'll take you in. Nina, it's been lovely chatting to you. It's been a lovely positive experience. So thank you, and I'm so glad you're doing so much for our musicians. And look after yourself and be well.
Thank you. Thank you, Rodney. It was lovely being here.
Nina Schumann, my guest on this week's edition of People of Note. Well, we have still some time in hand, so let's listen to Nina playing something for us. And in fact, this was recorded at the University of North Texas in Denton in the USA when Nina was visiting there. It's part of the sonata by Mettner called Sonata Reminiscenza.